Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to Wigham Baptist Church this morning. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. The flower calendar is located on the wall in the hall. Please take the time to sign up to provide flowers for the sanctuary. We would like to thank everyone who donated items and assisted with the clothes giveaway yesterday. As always, thank you very much for supporting that ministry here that we have chosen to do at Wigham Baptist Church. This Thursday, This Thursday, March the 19th at 7 p.m. is Standing in the Gap men's meeting here, and supper will be provided. So please let everyone know, the men, boys, young men and all, please come and have that time of fellowship and also a time of praising the Lord and devotion and all. Sunday, March the 29th, the Lord's Supper during the morning worship with, and also a fellowship lunch afterwards. That night, Sunday night at 6 p.m., we'll have our worship service in the original church. April the 1st through the 30th is the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. Please be in prayer for that. Our goal this year is $1,500. Please pray for that. Wednesday, April the 1st at 5:30 p.m. is Trunk a Hunt at the church here. So come, and as we move into getting closer to Easter, help us support that ministry and all as we try to get the word out what Easter really is. Mark your calendars. Easter sunrise services, Sunday, April the 4th at 7 a.m. this year at El Bethel Baptist Church. Breakfast will be provided. So mark your calendars for that, and if you can, please come and help support our churches here in the Wigham community by celebrating sunrise service April the 5th. And I think I put April the 4th. Tuesday, May the 5th at 6:30 p.m. is Titus 2 Women's Meeting. So please, ladies, remember that. I think we'll have a special guest speaker that night. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for these services this morning, Lord. We thank you for the past hour in Sunday school, Lord. And Lord, we just want to lift Brother Tim up to you this morning, Lord, as he proclaims your word today, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, as we always know, there are so many distractions in this world, Lord, and we get distracted sometimes, Lord, even when we come to church, Lord, unfortunately. And I just pray, Lord, that this morning that we'll just get rid of all the distractions, all of our concerns, all of our, if we are worrying, Lord, let us not be worried this morning. Just let us focus on Jesus as we studied in Sunday school, Lord, and let us realize, Lord, that who the identity of Jesus is, that he is the Messiah. He is the Son of the living God, Lord, and we need to give him all our worship and praise. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Oh, you're
in
the song. You moved on the wrong side.
I had to let Sissy in on the song.
It must be on the
I know. We got it.
Thank you.
All right, if you can this morning, please stand as we sing the doxology, hymn 253. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures there below. Praise Him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. 15, come thy faith.
Time I need him, he's all. Mr. Lowell, we thank you for Christ who died for us, Lord. We just thank you that you're sovereign. We thank you that you are loved, Lord, and we just thank you for loving us. Lord, we pray that you be Brother Tim as he brings us your message. Give him the words we need to hear, Lord. Give him the courage to proclaim your word boldly, Lord. And we just pray that you will bless him. Lord, we pray that you'll bless the gift. We pray that you'll bless the one that gives. And Lord, we pray that we'll all be faithful to use this gift to further your kingdom. We pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. So I want us all, we don't have it on the screen this morning, unless Jackson can find it real fast. But y'all can remain, well, no, if you want, let's all stand. And I want us all to do the special because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. 407, if you're looking in the, oh, thank you, Jackson.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I will, amen. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 6. But we're going to start out backing up just a few verses in chapter 5. But I do want to just briefly go back over what we looked at last Sunday night. If you think about it this way, when you study books of the Bible and you're going through a chapter, each time we meet Sunday morning and Sunday night, if you're not here on Sunday night, you're missing out on a lot, amen? I'm just telling you that because you only learn half of what you need to know, right? So I just encourage you to come back on Sunday evenings to be part of it. The Lord said to give them a whole day, not half a day. I'm just saying that. It's true. In Joshua chapter 5, we looked last Sunday night, and we saw that God had commanded Joshua to perform circumcision on all males once they had crossed over the Jordan River. If it would have been me, I would have told God, you're messing up. You shouldn't do this. You know, but God, I told Joshua to do it, and he did it. We realized that God had done this because for 40 years they had not been keeping the rite or ritual or ceremony of circumcising the male children. So there's a whole generation that have made it through the wilderness who have not been circumcised. And we realize that the reason because of this is because people who were not circumcised were not allowed to partake of the Passover meal. And so this was a new beginning for the nation of Israel. And so God wanted them to be prepared, not just physically, but also spiritually as they entered into the promised land. We ended last Sunday night with the nation of Israel, or Joshua, meeting the commander of the Lord's army. And if I had been the one that went into the scriptures and was the one who was dividing up the chapters into verses, I would have put the last three verses of chapter 5 along with chapter 6 instead of dividing it up the way it is. But we're going to back up to chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 and read them because it's important when you look at chapter 6 to realize Joshua is the human leader, but it is the Lord himself, Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, I believe, who was the commander of the Lord's army, and he showed up and it was time to go do what the Lord wanted done. So let's look and see what it said. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. It says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no. But as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? So we now prepared the Lord has showed up. It is his battle, as we'll find out in the next couple, this chapter, next chapter. It's the Lord's battle. But God uses people to do his work, but he wants us to follow him. Amen. Many times we get that backwards. We want God to do what we want him to do instead of us doing what he wants us to do. But Joshua realized who this person was, and he worshiped him. When we follow in obedience to the Lord, we are showing worship to the Lord. But if we show disobedience, we're not worshiping him. So as we begin to look into chapter 6, I want us just to go through here and realize a very familiar passage of scripture. We've been hearing this story since we were taught, right, about the walls of Jericho falling down. But let's look through them this morning once again. It says now, chapter 6, verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumps of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when you make a long blast with a ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priest and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So he had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the Ark of the Lord, and then 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord went on continually and blew the trumpets. And the armed men went before them, but the rear guard came after the Ark of the Lord while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. And the 2nd day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. So they did 6 days. But it came to pass on the 7th day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and marched around the city 7 times, 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times, and the 7th time it happened when the priest blew the trumpets, when the priest blew the trumpets, then Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction, it and all who live. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And you, by all means, abstain from the accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take of the accursed things and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver, the gold, vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city, and they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep and donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the 2 men who had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman and all that she has, as you swore to her. And the young men went, young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father, her mother, her brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them outside the camp of Israel. But they burned the city and all that was in it with fire. Only the silver, the gold, the vessels of bronze and iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's household, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Then Joshua charged them at that time, saying, "Cursed be the man before the Lord who rises up and builds this city Jericho. He shall lay its foundations, a foundation with his firstborn, and with his youngest he shall set up its gates." So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. We pray with the Heavenly Fathers, we have read this chapter. Lord, many of us know this story by heart. But Lord, I pray that you would show us something new. Bring to our remembrance, Lord, what you have done and what we need to do in our own lives. Lord, teach us, lead us, guide us, convict us. Lord, cause us to celebrate for all that you do and have done and will do in our lives. Lord, lead us and guide us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the first thing we realize is God's promise. The promise of the Lord was to give the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the promised land. That was about to be fulfilled. This is the beginning, so to speak, of God leading his people to do what God wanted them to do. But they had to do it his way. And oftentimes we tend to think, okay, well, I'm going to do it my way and leave God out. We know the right thing to do, but we're going to do it our way. Joshua wasn't that way. Joshua was a humble person who was a great leader. He did it by example. It wasn't just by telling people what to do. He modeled it in his own life. But we see that Jericho was on the other side of the Jordan. Here's the nation of Israel come up to the Jordan River, and as we talked about last week, the kings and citizens of Jericho probably thought, hey, we got a few more months before we have to deal with the Israelites, because the river's at what? Flood stage, right? There's no way to cross it. But we know that within just a few minutes, God did what? Cut off the water, dried up the dirt, and the people, 2.5 to 4 million people, walked across the Jordan River on dry land. Now, all of a sudden, what does the city of Jericho need to do? Because they thought we had a few more months, right? We could make weapons, we could do this, we could do that, we could be more prepared. But now, all of a sudden, Israel is on the doorstep, so to speak. Well, the only choice they had was to shut the city down. Much like martial law, but probably even more so. They shut the gates, shut the doors, boarded it up, locked it up, nailed it up. They did everything possible to keep their citizens in and keep the Israelites out. They say that the city walls of Jericho, that there was literally two of them around. One was about 12 feet wide, about 20, 25 feet high, and the second one was 12 feet wide. One was 6, one was 12, both about the same height. So that they thought they were safe, at least for a little while, right? But as we know, God had already determined that this city was his. This city was going to fall. I think about how Joshua tells the men to go in and take Rahab and her family out. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Remember where did Rahab live? Y'all remember? Where did she live at? On top of the wall, right? So she lived on top of the wall. Now, they go in, they take, bring her out, her family out with her. All that she had, they bring out because she had believed in God. She had trusted in God and made a request that because she was kind, show kindness to these spies and hid them, put her own life and her family's life in danger. She believed in the God of Israel. And because of that, she was delivered from destruction, her and her whole family. And it was simply because of a promise God had made to the nation of Israel. In verse 2, we see that promise. God says, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor." But you know what those walls represent for us? If we want to bring it to our personal lives, those walls represent something that need to be broken down. In order for God to have his way in our hearts and lives, those walls of sin, those walls of separation that separate us from God need to be knocked down. We're not strong enough to do it in our own strength. We need somebody who can do it, and that is God himself. He is the only one who can knock down those walls in our lives. Because so many of us, when somebody offends you, what's the first thing you do? A wall goes up. Amen. I don't care who you are. If I came up to you and slapped your wall, probably a fist would come. But most of the time, a wall goes up between us. If I say something that offends you, it goes a wall. It doesn't matter what it is, because in our lives, we have all sinned against God. Amen. For all sin falls short of the glory of God. Because of that, there's a wall of separation between us and God. And the only person who can knock it down is who? The God. And so we need to realize that in our lives too, we are all much like the city of Jericho, where we need God to come in and knock down the walls so that he can have full reign in our lives to knock down that sin, to destroy the sin that separates us from him. It's by faith that happens. In 1 John, this is not on the screen, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, at the end of that verse, it says, "He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world." Isn't that a great statement? Because you say, "Well, I can't. That's true. It's true. We can't. But can I tell you that God can? And we fail to realize that many times in our lives. We walk around defeated. God gives us victory, but so many times we walk around like victims, don't we? "Well, I just can't." Well, God can, amen? I would quit trusting in yourself and start believing in him. Know that God can. But then the next thing we see is that God gives directions to Joshua. Here again, if God was the one who told me, "Tim, I want you to take this city, but this is how I want you to do it," you know what I'd probably say? "That ain't gonna work. You're gonna need machine guns. You're gonna need, what's the bombs they're using over in Iran right now? You're gonna need those cruise missiles. You're gonna need all this stuff to knock the walls down." And God said, no, Tim, just listen to me. Trust me. Believe me. You just walk around the city one time a day for 6 days. You just do that. But I don't want anybody talking along the way. I will come back to that thought in just a moment. And then on the seventh day, Tim, or Joshua, or whatever your name is, I walk around the walls seven times that seventh day. And you're going to see something amazing happen. You're going to see the walls fall down flat. Not piled up, but flat. God gives directions. And he gives specific directions, and he tells y'all, say, it's gonna be a 7 day job, right? You're gonna need 7 priests bearing 7 ram's horn trumpets. We're gonna blow those trumpets. And if you read through here, have you ever just stopped and asked yourself, what are all these 7s about? 7 days, 7 priests, 7 trumpets, 7 times around the city. Do you know that the number seven in Scripture is a number of completeness or fullness or completion? When you study in the book of Revelation, and I know at times past you have, but there's these seven bowls of judgment, you know, and seven this and seven that. God is perfect, and His number is seven, okay? Many people wonder, what does 666 mean? Because 666 is representative of who? Satan. Satan is not completeness. Satan is not fullness, but God is, okay? And Satan can paint himself as all this stuff, but it still comes up short, amen? But here's the idea. Here's the nation of Israel. God has given them commands to do something that does not make sense, humanly speaking. But it's also interesting that God tells Joshua not to use just any trumpet. The nation of Israel generally used two different types of trumpets. The first one was silver, okay? It was silver. And we don't have time to look at it this morning, but just for reference, you can go back and look at Numbers chapter 10. I think it's verses 1 through 8. And in Numbers, it tells us that, God said, listen, when you call the different tribes together, the different leaders, you blow the silver trumpets. And it was a signal, so to speak, when it was time to march. I'll load everything up and go. You blew this trumpet so many times, and they began to march, and if you just wanted the rulers, the leaders of the tribe to come together, you blew the trumpet. So there was all kind of different directions, but that was announced through the silver trumpets. Whenever the presence of God was to be announced, they used the ram's horns. God was specific here. He says it's ram's horns you are to blow. Why is that significant? Because remember the army, the commander of the Lord's army showed up. And when he was going to be marching around, they were to declare his presence among the nation of Israel. He was the one who was going before the nation as they walked around the city walls of Jericho. It's interesting, though, because when you go back and read through the Bible, it talks about the year of Jubilee was one of the times that they were to blow the ram's horns. And this, in a very real sense, it was the year of Jubilee. They were coming into the promised land. They were beginning a new life. And God wanted that presence announced among his people. But even today, in our lives, if you think about it, there's been ram's horns that have been blown all along. In Romans chapter 8, verse 37, listen to what this. Jesus has been our commander of the Lord's army. He is the one who has accomplished everything on our behalf. And he tells us what? He says, in all these things, we are more than what? How many of you feel like a conqueror this morning? Or do you feel like you've been conquered? Right? We know the feeling, don't we? When you feel that way, pull up this verse. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through who?
Him.
Jesus, the Lord, the commander of the Lord's army. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, listen to what it says here. It says, now thanks be to God who always leads us where? Do you feel like a victor every day? Maybe it's because we're not following God's directions. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph. See, there's one thing for God to lead us. There's another thing for us to lead ourselves. If I'm not walking on God's path, that means I'm not walking in victory. I'm walking in defeat. Because if I'm following God who leads me in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Our lives every day should lead somebody else to see, to smell that something's different about us. Not in a bad way, okay? They don't need to smell B.O., they need to smell the Lord. They need to see the knowledge, the presence of Almighty God working in our lives and through our lives. And because we are following in his footsteps, we're allowing his light to light our path. Because of that, other people can see. Other people can notice the difference in our lives. But God gives the direction one time a day for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, they were to march around the city 7 times. But Joshua gives a command that does not make sense, unless you really think about it. Joshua tells the people, hey, for the next 7 days, the only sound is to be what? Come on, y'all help me out. The only sound was to be the trumpets, right? There was to be no talking in the camp. There was to be no talking on the walks around the city. To be silent. Have you ever thought why was that? Well, the Bible doesn't say, but I'm going to make some good observations. Number one, when the people get to talking, what do they get to doing?
Complaining.
Complain, amen. Right? It happens here at Wiggum Baptist Church. It happens at El Bethel and Providence and First Methodist. When people get to talking, they get to complaining. God was tired of their complaining. Amen? They've complained enough. Now, for 7 days, they're not supposed to say a word. Not a word. But you know what I bet was another reason? I shouldn't say bet. I observed that might have been another reason. Could you imagine the city of Jericho? Man, for 7 days, it's silent. All they hear is footsteps. And ram's horn blowing, the shofar blowing through, you know, they're going around. And the people in Jericho probably, what in the world are they doing? I could imagine if it was the people, though, and maybe Joshua, thank God, because God told Joshua not, you know, nothing but the sound of the rain going. I couldn't imagine these Israelites are walking around the city walls and here they go. They walked around about halfway around. They said, I thought we were here to take the city, not to walk around it. Joshua must be crazy. What is he thinking? You know, I thought we were going to destroy the city, not just walk around. You know, all these complaints that the people could have done. And that happens in church today. You want to try something new, and what do people do? Some people say, yeah, let's do it. Other people say, no, why do you want to do that? It's not going to work, right? It happens. So, possibly that's the reason. But they walk around 6 days, one time each day. Only blowing the trumpets. Seventh day, get up early in the morning, 7 times, they walk around the city. And on the seventh time, the priest with those 7 ram's horn blew with a loud blast. And Joshua says, shout, and all the people do what? I bet they're glad they can finally talk, amen? So they all shout. And what happened to the city walls? They fell down flat. Here again, there's one place that didn't fall, and we've kind of already talked about it, and that was Rahab's house. It was there. That was the only part of the wall that didn't fall. And I says, you know, every man goes straight, man of war goes straight in. and kill everything. And in our times today, we think that's cruel. But can I tell you the significance of weeding out evil is real? God commands everything to be destroyed except for Rahab, her mother, her father, and her brothers, and all that was in her house. Everything else that had that breed there was to be killed, right? Was to be killed with a sword. Everything that was not silver, gold, iron, and bronze, that was to be brought in as offering to the Lord, so to speak. It was to be brought into the treasuries of the Lord. But everything else was to be burned with fire. I'm going to point out two things. One, when they brought Rahab and her family out of the city, where did they take them? It tells us they took them outside the camp. They were not allowed to come into the congregation of Israel. Why? Well, a couple things. Number one, the males had not been circumcised. So they couldn't observe, they couldn't take part of, they could not be mixed in with the congregation of Israel. They had to be put outside the camp. There was a specific period and time of the circumcision and cleansing that they had to go through before they could be brought into the camp of Israel. It wasn't that they mistreated them. They were just separation. You separate what is right and what is holy from the things that are not. And even though by faith Rahab believed, they still had to go through the process of circumcision and cleansing to be allowed to come into the presence of the camp of Israel. So, verse 17 tells us that. It says, "Now the city shall be doomed by the Lord to destruction. It and all who are in it, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all who are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." In other words, this was the divider. This is why, because of what her faith was backed up in her works. And now in verses 21 through 23, it says, "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox, sheep, donkey, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said to the two men who had spied out the country, 'Go into the harlot's house, and from there bring out the woman all that she has, as you swore to her.' And the young men who had been spies went in and brought out Rahab, her father and other brothers, and all that she had. So they brought out all her relatives and left them," as I said, where? Outside the camp. Now let's look at verse 25. Did we have that? Okay. It says, "And Joshua spared Rahab the harlot, her father's house, and all that she had. So she dwells in Israel to this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua had sent to spy out of Jericho." So there was the idea, we've talked about that before, about Joshua sending the spies in chapter 2 to Rahab, her house, and all. They made the promise, and she tied that red cord, that scarlet cord, showing she was covered by under the cover. So she was brought outside the camp for that purpose, to be not to be singled out, to be made fun of, but until the process of the circumcision and cleansing could be accomplished. But then, here again, we see that this battle was the Lord's. Was it the people's loud voices that knocked down the walls? Was it the priest's blast of the ram's horn that knocked down the walls? No, it was God. It was God who walked down, knocked down these walls that separated. It was God who knocked down this, because this was God's presence going before them. And it shows the nation of Israel that in the Lord there's victory. In the Lord there's victory. the command of the Lord's army shows up. Joshua says, tell me your servant what to do. Just tell me, and I'll do it. That should be how all of us live our lives. Lord, what do you want me to do? In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about that and talking about how, you know, that we are to take up our cross daily and do what? Live for ourselves. Do what we want to do.
Follow him.
And we're following him. And in a real sense, that's what Joshua was telling the Lord, you know. Tell me what you want me to do. Just tell me. And I'll do it. You see, this battle was the Lord's. He was giving them victory. Could you imagine this city of Jericho, where the scripture tells us there were about 12,000 people here. Here the nation of Israel surrounding them, the mighty men of war, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down. And all Israel has to do is go in and mop up, so to speak. They kill every living thing that breathes, and all the things that were to be put into the treasury of the Lord were brought out as a first fruits offering to the Lord, so to speak. And everything else was to be burned. Because the battle was the Lord's. It wasn't because the nation of Israel did anything great or anything mighty. It wasn't in their own strength and their own doing. It was because of their obedience to the Lord. And here again, we realize that we have victory when we follow God's commands in our own lives. But the first fruits. So what's the first fruit? Well, throughout Bible, a tithe has always meant a tenth. What is a tenth? Well, let's just say if you make $100 a week, how many of it should go to the Lord? 10%. Is that before after taxes and insurance and all the other deductions? Is that before you pay your bills or after you pay your bills? See, God deserves, and we tend to think, well, I did all this, you know, I have my own strength, I did all this work, it's mine. Is that really true? Because it really isn't it God who gives us the victory? Isn't it God who gives us the ability to work? Isn't it God who gives us the breath and the strength to work, to gain what we have gained? It all belongs to him anyhow. And in this situation of the city of Jericho, God said, listen, the battle is mine, the victory is mine, and I get all the spoils of it, so to speak. But as we'll find out tonight, there was one person who thought they could do things their way. Thought he could do things his way and get away with it and somehow honor himself. And we'll find out tonight that didn't work very well for him. Joshua gives credit to the Lord. And this city is destroyed, and really Joshua curses it. And you say, well, we don't believe in curses. And he's not talking about using foul language, okay? He is simply just calling doom on this city forever. Because it was to be a sign of what God had done, much like the memorial stones and everything else that we've studied. This was to be a remembrance of the nation of Israel, of the power of God, and Joshua called for this city to never be rebuilt. Matter of fact, even calling that firstborn of his son to die when the city's walls would begin to be built again, and his last per child born was to be buried when its gates were laid. And you say, well, that's kind of cruel. But you know, you can go back through studying history and find out that curse was fulfilled. We don't have time to look at that this morning. Let's bring it down to this. Is there a wall between you and God this morning? Is there a wall that needs to be knocked down? Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and today you need to say, Lord, I need you to blow them ram's horns and knock down this wall that's separating me from you. Lord, I believe in you. I want to trust in you. I want to follow you. I want to take up my cross and follow you. Maybe some of us need to do that today because we cannot have victory on our own. We need the victory of the Lord that the Lord gives us. And that's only through faith that happens. Some of us, we may have won the victory, but we've been living in defeat. Maybe some of us have won salvation through faith, so to speak, through what God has done in our lives and for us. And he's knocked down that wall that separates us from him. But we've allowed the enemy to come in and build walls. Walls that of sin that separate us from God. And maybe today we need to claim victory. We need to say, okay, Lord, I know I've been struggling with this. This is in my life. And God, I need you to help take this out of the way. I can't do it on my own. I trust you, God, that you can do anything and everything. I need you to knock down these walls. See, Rahab believed and God did what? God spared her and her family. God gave her victory. The nation of Israel, because they believed and they acted upon what God told Joshua to tell them to do, and they won victory through that. Are you living like a victor this morning? Are you living like a victim? It's your choice. How will you leave here today? In victory or in defeat? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we move into our time of invitation, Lord, I pray for the one who may be here who has never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, for the one who needs you to deliver them from Satan, from the walls that have separated them from you. Lord, I pray by faith, Lord, those walls will come down. I pray, Lord, that they will find victory in you by placing their faith and trust in you. Lord, I also pray for the one today who knows you. They've won that victory, Lord, through you. But Lord, they have other areas of sin that have come in and built walls that cause separation between you and them. Lord, not that they lose that relationship, but they lose fellowship. And Lord, as we know, and as we'll find out tonight, Lord, sin never affects just one person. It doesn't just affect our relationship between us and you. It causes fellowship and relationship problems with us and the others in our lives. And Lord, I pray today that, Lord, you would knock those walls down, that you would give us victory there. Lord, for those of us who say, I'm walking in victory today. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's been taken care of. I'm walking daily by his side. Lord, cause celebration to happen. Lord, help us to shout with a shout of victory because of what you have done in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, help us just to be obedient today. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Because if we leave here today in disobedience, then that means we haven't worshiped you. Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.